Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Good afternoon and welcome to Family First with five-time author and top speaker Randy Rolfe. Your family may be facing a variety of issues that you'd like addressed. No two families in the world face identical problems, but Randy has seen almost all of the difficulties families today face, and she and her expert guests have the answers that you seek. Now, here is your host, Randy Rolfe.
Welcome to Family First. I'm your host, Randy Rolfe, and I'm very excited about today's show. We're talking about homeschool. Why homeschool? Our news is filled with the challenges in today's schools, including peer pressure, precocious sex and drinking, drugs, dropouts, learning differences, burned out teachers, bullying, poor test scores, too much about fashion and cliques, budget cutbacks for the schools, violence in the schools, smartphone distractions, and more. Many parents are looking for alternatives. For some, the charter schools or online schools seem to be the answer. Others push for school reforms at district, state, and federal levels. More and more families are considering homeschooling. And my guest this week is Peter Bergson, one of the pioneers in the homeschooling movement here in Pennsylvania. We met, couple of decades ago, and I'm just proud to know him. He founded Open Connections with his wife, Susan Shilcock, in 1978, and has been a leader in the theory and practice of what he calls open education. He'll share his own path to homeschooling, as well as the many reasons parents are considering homeschooling and the many options parents have today for structuring a truly nurturing environment for kids of any age. And I want to tell you more about Peter. Peter Bergson's the father of four and grandfather of five, all homeschoolers or unschoolers. In 1978, he and his wife, Susan Shilcock, who unfortunately passed away in 2005, opened Open Connections as a preschool kindergarten program. That's when we first met them. Soon they became friends with John Holt, and OC morphed into a resource center for self-directed learners ages 4 to 18. Open Connections currently flourishes on a 28-acre campus in suburban Philadelphia, serving 100 homeschooling, unschooling families with programs to help young people to pursue their interests in a community that nurtures collaboration and creativity. Peter and Susan co-authored Open Connections, The Other Basics, which we'll talk about in a moment, and he created an instruction manual titled Spaces for Children, Learning Environments for Work and Play. Having retired as OC's executive director, Peter serves on their board and writes articles for the OC magazine, works on a future book titled Parenting for Pleasure, which sounds fabulous, and promotes the open education concept. He loves his two full days weekly spent with his little three-year-old grandchildren and spending time in the workshop he's built for them and their older siblings. So welcome to our show, Family First, today, Peter. This is a pleasure.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So let's start out by just asking, how did you first become interested in homeschooling? Can you tell us your personal journey to home education?
Sure. Homeschooling was the answer to the question that my wife and I started asking when our firstborn turned five, which at the time was the upper end of the age range of the four-morning-a-week program that we ran for 3 to 5-year-olds. And people started asking us, as we asked ourselves, you know, what's Amanda going to do when she's too old for open connections? And we naively thought that we could find a school program, most likely a private school program, that would allow for part-time participation and that followed a very progressive, hands-on, learner-centered approach. And the reason for the interest in part-time was that we believed that, there were two parts of it. The first is that we just thoroughly enjoyed being with her and, at that time, her younger sister. We subsequently had two more young people join our family. And we really didn't see ourselves as parents as intending to have 4 or 5 years of full-time engagement with our young people and then basically turn them over to an institution for the next 12 or 16 years or, you know, forever. So we wanted more time as a family. We also thought that the amount of time that schools require, public or private, not only in terms of attendance, but then when you add the out-of-school obligations of homework, et cetera, it just seemed to take over the lives of young people. It just wasn't something that we valued. And so we went and visited a number of the more liberal, I can use that term here, private schools in the area, finding that the Philadelphia vicinity is in many ways a very conservative, traditional place. And even those schools that claimed a very progressive approach and in many ways did follow it, still they demanded the full-time attendance. And to our thinking, they weren't as open as we would like to see. There wasn't as much hands-on and self-directed activity. It was still pretty curriculum-driven. It was, in some ways, a kinder, gentler version of traditional schooling. And so we did a lot of hand-wringing and kind of wondering, what are we going to do? At the same time, we had a family in our program with a 5-year-old son who had an 8-year-old sister who was in a parochial school and having a very challenging time. And her mother would come to us almost daily when she picked up her 5-year-old, pleading with us to consider expanding Open Connections into an elementary school so that she could send her 8-year-old and create a much happier environment for her. And we didn't really want to go that way because for all the same reasons for other people's young people as we did for our own. It just seemed like too much time spent in an organization, no matter how nurturing it might be. And then one day she showed up, this mom, giddy as could be, saying, in essence, "Eureka, Eureka, I found it," and holding a copy of a relatively new magazine, bi-monthly magazine, called Growing Without Schooling, that was started actually probably about a year previous to that, by John Holt. And John Holt, as probably many of your listeners know, was a teacher turned author who started out in upper middle class, fairly elite private schools in Colorado and Cambridge, Massachusetts, observing that what most teachers thought was going on in their classrooms in terms of learning really wasn't what was happening at all. And he started taking notes about this and they ultimately became his first book called How Children Fail, and in which he described the games and strategies that young people adopt in order to make it look like they're winning the game of learning, but in fact they're just skimming the surface, staying out of trouble, and doing their best to please the teachers and the parents and pass the tests and get good grades and all that stuff. And after several years of trying to reform schools, to use a popular term there, and or influence schools to become more open to young people's natural learning processes, he finally gave up and said, you know, schools really aren't interested in going in the direction that I am. They have their own purpose and their own agenda, despite all the talk about fixing schools. And so he said, I'm leaving the school reform business, and in his words, he considered schools, public, private, or otherwise, like a burning building, and he wanted to help whoever wanted to get out to do so and to allow their young people to thrive in a more natural learning environment, specifically the family and the world outside the family and outside of school. And so he started this magazine, this national magazine, on a shoestring to help families who wanted to take back the responsibility for the education and general development of their young people from the schools, and have the flexibility of creating the kind of educational processes that fit better for their beliefs and their thoughts as to what was most nurturing and helpful for young people. And he used the term homeschooling at the time, but he did not mean school at home. He was not interested in replicating what went on at school in a home-like setting. And when a lot of people interpreted the term homeschooling in that manner, he kind of switched to unschooling as the way of describing the educational approach that and philosophy that he was proposing. So as soon as this mom came in with a copy of his magazine, Growing Without Schooling, and saw it as a solution for her, the scales fell from my eyes and my wife's eyes, and we said that's what the path that we're going to pursue for our young folks. And so rather a long-winded answer, but that's how I first learned about and got involved with homeschooling.
Well, it's a wonderful story, Peter, and I met you shortly after that at a conference where I was presenting some of my first parenting book, and the scales fell from my eyes. I'm like, oh, wow, there's an alternative for my kids, and they weren't even school age yet, but we had started, I guess they were school age. We had just started them in the a very fine private school, but just like you said, we were just like, well, wait a minute. We were from the decade of the 60s, and we felt that if we're not going to raise our children, why did we even have them? And the school wanted so much time all day, and then the school would orchestrate what they did in the evening for their homework, and we were just like, this isn't good. And yeah. We loved the school, but it was still a school. And so when we heard that, wow, we could educate the kids at home and just continue that parenting process, and I'll never forget what you said to me, and I've repeated it so many times. You said you don't become a teacher. You just continue to be a parent, to present the resources, to do the stimulation, to take the kids where they wanted to go, to learn what they wanted to learn, and just continue being the parent you've been for those first 3 or 4 years. And I just, that's just meant so much over and over again. And I've helped many parents recognize that they didn't have to turn into classroom teachers standing up in front of the room. So Thank you so much for that.
You're welcome. Thanks for picking up on it. I've said it to a lot of people, and, you know, for the people for whom that works and fits, you know, the homeschooling, unschooling option is great. For others, you know, it's not their paradigm. It's not the way they see things, and that's okay, too. I'm not trying to talk anybody into anything.
Right. I wanted to ask you about your first book, Open Connections, The Other Basics. I loved reading it, and I know you had an educational background with corporations and organizations before you had your kids. So can you tell us briefly what inspired you to write the book, and what are those other basics?
Yes. Well, there's two parts of the answer to what inspired us to write it. The first is that we wanted to reach a broader audience. We had the same ego issues, I guess, that a lot of people that think they're doing something neat and they want to share it and whatever. Clearly, the relatively few families a year that were experiencing the Open Connections programs was a fairly narrow audience, as they say. And so a book, you know, seemed like a good idea. The other is that we did have a message that we thought was different from what most people were hearing or reading about. And as you suggested or implied, that did in large part grow out of the work that I was doing before I got involved directly with families and young people. And it's where Susan and I met. I was the director of training for a consulting firm in Cambridge, Massachusetts, called Synectics at the time. It's now called Synectics World. And basically the work we did was to help corporate managers change the way they ran their meetings in order to increase significantly the probability of more creative and collaborative solutions and ideas to their challenges and opportunities. You know, the notion of the corporate meeting as just something that everybody tried their best to avoid because they were just the most boring invitations to just death and boredom and such.
Right, Peter, we have a break now, and okay. I want to get back to that because I thought that was so fascinating that you, so much that you learned from corporate meetings, you realized how to liberate the kids. So please come back. We will be talking to Peter Bergson about homeschool.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? 5-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters. Whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance, Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RANDYROLFE.com. Your family will thank you.
Hi, I'm Neil Haley, host of the Total Education Network. We're the only education talk show that airs shows 7 days a week on different stations. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org to learn about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide news and provide tips for parents. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org for more information. Remember, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators, TotalTutor.org.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Welcome back. We're talking about homeschool or unschooling, home education through parenting rather than school. And we're talking with Peter Bergson, who's a pioneer in the homeschooling movement and the author of Open Connections, The Other Basics, and Spaces for Children, Learning Environments for Work and Play, and the founder and former director of the Open Connections Educational Resource Center outside of Philadelphia. So I'm delighted to be talking to him, and we were just talking about how he some of his concepts for home education came from what he learned from bored, overstructured corporate meetings, and how to bring in collaboration and cooperation into the corporate structure. And of course, all those people had gone through the school system, and now with the idea of a more open education, I expect people who get into the boardroom from a more open education in the first place don't have such boring meetings.
Right. Well, that's one of the goals, or such boring lives. Exactly. What we learned in videotaping the corporate meetings was seeing how the same behaviors that John Holt had seen in the classroom, the games and strategies to win the teacher's attention and to avoid being embarrassed and humiliated for not knowing the right answer, et cetera, et cetera, were continued in adult life in adult meetings. And all of them diminished the probability of success of meetings, particularly meetings which were intended to promote or to develop truly innovative, creative ideas. And what the consulting firm that I worked with did with the learnings from the tapes was we identified a number of behavioral changes, which we translated into meeting different meeting practices, and we would teach them to the adults so that they could make much better use of their own and their colleagues' brains, and they had a tremendous positive effect on the quality of the output of the meetings and the quality of the experience of the meetings by the people in it. And I was interested more actually in the non-commercial applications of the body of knowledge that we were teaching, rather than coming up with new ways to sell breakfast cereals or even new breakfast cereals or whatever. I was more interested in using the tools to help build the creative problem-solving skills of not only young people, but people who were in certain ways impoverished or dealing with much more challenging life issues, et cetera, et cetera. And so we would give scholarships to our programs to educational and other nonprofit organizations to send their staff to learn the techniques. And one of the young women who came to take our course became my future wife. And midway through the course, she said, you know, what you're doing here is remedial. You're helping adults relearn what they used to know naturally when they were 2 and 3 year olds, but got kind of schooled out of them, and I don't want to put it all on school because it's kind of in the culture as well. A lot of kind of bad behaviors from a creative standpoint. And we kind of said almost simultaneously, wouldn't it be great to have a different kind of schooling that nourished these natural, creative, inventive talents that infants and toddlers have, that they seem to lose the longer they're in a traditional schooling situation. And I said, and by the way, would you marry me? And it was a little early in the relationship, but 3 years later, that's what happened. And we started Open Connections for the distinct purpose of applying these creative problem-solving skills to the educational process. And Open Connections is kind of based on a combination of that body of knowledge, and also the paradigm that says learning is natural. We are designed as humans to learn and to grow. It's in the hardwiring of the species. And we don't need to be taught how to question, how to experiment, how to explore. And anybody who has been around a 15-month-old or even somewhat older knows that you don't have to motivate them in the morning to start opening drawers and taking things out and turning things upside down and pulling them apart to see how they work and all that sort of thing. You don't need lessons in that kind of effort to understand how the world works and to make sense of it through by generating hypotheses and experimenting and collecting data and then revising your hypothesis based on what you learn. And we saw no reason to interrupt that process and replace it by an uninvited curriculum such as, okay, now you're going to sit down and learn world history or even the alphabet. We had every reason to believe that young people would naturally want to learn to read because they would see that that was a useful skill that adults had, just like they want to learn how to drive and they want to learn how to feed themselves and they want to learn how to dress themselves and they want to learn how to climb trees on their own and such. And that's what I mean by natural learning. And that's the approach that we took and we support at Open Connections under the umbrella of homeschooling/unschooling.
Well, that makes so much sense, and I love what you said about that it's natural and hardwired in for us to be learning animals and to just continue that process as the child ages and watching adults, what do I need to know to be able to do all the things they do? And my husband and I often kid, but we're serious, that we saved our kids about 15 years of unlearning what we had learned in our schooling.
Yeah.
that we'd saved them 15 years because we felt it took us years to get rid of a lot of the misconceptions and limitations that we had picked up going through school. We call ourselves overeducated because we're both lawyers. So we were in school for almost 20 years, and we spent the next 10 or 15 years unlearning. And part of the reason we did unlearn was watching our kids grow up naturally and learning naturally and relating to kids of all different ages and relating so beautifully to adults. And there wasn't any of these gradations or you all have to be doing the same thing or you all have to respond to the bell at the same moment. And it was just wonderful watching them grow up. So they taught us and they unlearned us as we let them emerge naturally into their adulthood. So, I just love what you're sharing here. So you now have nine direct relatives, direct descendants in the homeschooling. So what's been your family experience and how obviously your children are going for the natural education for their own children. So and you had told me that some of them are involved in Open Connections now. So can you tell a little bit about what your family experience has been going through that whole process?
Sure, I'd be happy to. For all intents and purposes, they did no schooling until they went to college, and all four decided that they wanted to do college. They did see the value in that, we were more than happy to support that. Of the four, I have three daughters and a son. My eldest, basically put herself through, college, and working, almost full time for a good portion of that, while she attended the, University of Pennsylvania. And then went into the nonprofit world. She's had two or three different positions there, and currently is working with an organization in Philadelphia called the Welcoming Center for New Pennsylvanians, and they're helping immigrants in a very creative fashion address all of the issues that have been created by you know, various economic and governmental policies there for immigrants. And she's just a wonderful resource and highly valued and loves her work. She also continues something she started as part of her unschooling background when she was a preteen. She started volunteering at our local public library, and she just last year got her 20-year service pin, way before most people have put in 20 years, because she's continued to work on some weekends on a part-time basis at the library. She's a reader and, as I say, a resource-type person, and she's great at making connections and helping people figure things out. Because that's what she did as she, you know, grew up as a young person. My two middle youths are also daughters, and they're the two moms. One has a 5, 3, and 1-year-old, and the other has an almost 3, and I think he's about 9 months old at this point. They're both involved at Open Connections, one as a facilitator a couple of days a week. We use the term facilitator rather than teacher. And she runs a group tutorial. And the rest of the time she's a full-time mom. And her 5-year-old goes to Open Connections 2 days a week in open education programs there. And the 3-year-old is in a parent youth program with her one morning a week. And The other daughter is one of the co-directors. When I retired as executive director, I turned the responsibility over to a triumvirate of three very capable and well-experienced folks, one of whom is my third daughter, and her husband is the second, and then another young man who has been with us for a number of years. So she's a part-time administrator and focuses on staff development after many years of being a facilitator of programs for young people. And she's a full-time mom. And then my fourth young person is a son who's in his late 20s at this point. And he is a computer programmer and lives in New York City. We allowed him to move that far away and with the promise that he'd come home every couple of months so that we could see him. And occasionally we go up and visit him, which is wonderful. And he worked in the nonprofit world for a couple of years, but always had the notion that he wanted to create his own startup. He did it exactly on schedule. He found a co-founder, and then later they added a third co-founder, and they have, not surprisingly, started a very innovative program for helping people learn how to be programmers at a very high and creative level. And they just actually announced that they're starting their third iteration of what they call Hacker School. But it's really run on the unschooling model. And they help people who already know a bit about programming learn a whole lot more in 3 months of very intensive small group and self-directed activity. And then they help them find jobs with other startups. So they are partly educators and partly recruiters. And,
wow, that's and very innovative and very creative. And
having a wonderful time of it. And so.
Yeah, I can see how he you know, what he learned by through his creative experiences through the unschooling.
Exactly. It started when he was 10 years old, and he opened a closet and he saw my old Franklin computer in the closet, which had been replaced by an Apple. And he said, can I use that? And I said, well, it's broken because the disk, it had an external disk drive. And, he said, well, you know, can I try and fix it? And, my first thought was, well, no, you'll just make it worse. And then I thought, well, that's a ridiculous thing to say. It's sitting in a closet. What could be worse? He's only going to learn. He doesn't have to get it up and running. And he came back to me in a half an hour, and he said, okay, it's working. How do I use it? He didn't know the term programming at this point. I mean, this was 17 years ago, 18 years
ago. Well, Peter, we're up on another break, but that's a great story, perfect example
so,
of
so that
of
was
how
the start of his computer career.
Yeah, absolutely. And when we come back, I want to talk about the practical aspects of how the Resource Center Open Connections works with families in homeschooling. So come on back and listen, hear more about homeschooling with Peter Bergson.
Find out which guests are being featured this week. Read our network press releases and read the blog posts from your favorite hosts. Go to iradioblog.com today, powered by the Voice America Talk Radio Network.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters. Whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance, Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
The Total Education Network is the only network that airs shows 7 days a week on various stations. Please go to our website, www.totaltutor.org, for more information about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide educational news and tips for parents. The Total Education Network, the talk shop for parents, teachers, and administrators. That's www.totaltutor.org.
Looking for exciting video content live and on demand? Visit www.voiceamerica.tv for exclusive content you just can't find anywhere else. That's voiceamerica.tv. Tune in now.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Welcome back. We're talking with Peter Bergson about homeschooling, and he's one of the pioneers in the homeschooling movement going back a couple of decades. He and his wife founded Open Connections, which is a resource center outside of Philadelphia which supports homeschooling. And we've been talking about the philosophy of open education and how it all came about, and the leadership of John Holt in the early years. And I wanted to talk more about exactly how families get involved with the homeschooling, and how does Open Connections now fit with families who've decided to do the unschooling, Peter?
Well, I mentioned that we were, my wife and I, on a search for part-time, what we conceptualized as schooling at the time, because we recognized that young people learn a lot and are naturally drawn toward other young people, not necessarily just age mates, older and younger. So we never wanted to isolate our young folks from the world of other young people, nor did we want them to be, totally under our watchful and careful eyes or whatever. We wanted them to have lots of time in safe and nurturing environments where they could learn and explore and experiment and, you know, make mistakes and learn from them. They're not really mistakes. And so we always thought in terms of the value of out-of-the-home experiences for young people. And there's also the reality that a lot of parents are, you know, our economic system is largely creates a need for childcare, for time when parents are free to work on their own to generate income or, you know, pursue other interests. And so Open Connections over the years morphed into an opportunity for, on a part-time basis, for young people to be in those kinds of supportive environments, intellectually stimulating, where they could experiment and explore and be with other young folks, while their parents, you know, for the most part, did other things. Now, some of the parents at Open Connections are more involved, and some actually become staff or facilitators, but not most. For the most part, they're with their young folks when they're not at OC, as we call Open Connections, and the young folks come anywhere from 1 to 3 days a week, in programs, from 9:30 to 2:30, sometimes till 4, depending on the nature of the program. And, there's a wide variety of different types of programs based on different interests and, different developmental levels. Anybody who's interested in finding out more about what goes on at Open Connections can go to the website, which is openconnections.org, and there is an S at the end, openconnections.org, and read all about it. And then there are lots of opportunities for the whole family and for the parents to connect with others. It's not just for, or doesn't consist just of the programs for the enrolled young people, but there are opportunities. Today, for example, was what they call an open campus day, and a totally self-directed community day, and there's a parent book group that, or a couple of them actually, I think, that happened today, for example. And dance groups, and truthfully, not being on campus, I can't tell you exactly what happened today, but it's just a community of learners who value self-direction and collaboration, who eschew competition and grades and tests and really don't see the need or the value of them. It's just a nice, happy, creative place. So I'm really pleased with what is going on there.
That's neat. I have some good friends who just told me that they've been homeschooling their two boys, and they have now connected with Open Connections and love it. So
Great.
Kudos. Nice. More kudos.
Yeah.
Now, I've heard parents, when I've told them that we homeschooled, like, oh, I could never do that. My kids and I would drive each other crazy. How do you, if a parent thinks maybe they want to look at it, but they're afraid because that like we were talking about before, they're not teachers, or they don't know enough math, or they really aren't strong readers. They can still do the home education if they feel they're drawn to it as a family. How can you allay their fears, shall I say?
Well, I think the first thing is to do some research and learn more about what the term means and what the options are. There is a wide range of interpretations of the term homeschooling and unschooling. And most of the fear, I think, is a residue of their own school experience. And I encourage parents to hold on to that fear to the extent that it keeps them from replicating their experience for their young folks. I always say to parents, if they say, I don't know how to teach long division, say, well, let that be a continuous reminder to you that there's not much value in teaching long division. You know, if you didn't learn it well enough to be able to share it with somebody else, then what is it? And you're a reasonably successful or very successful adult, what does that tell you about how critical it is, you know, to learn it? It's not. The last thing you want to do is mess up a loving parent-youth relationship by becoming, you know, the kind of onerous disciplinarian or instructor that, you know, so many people have when they are in schools. So don't try and model the school thing. That's a good thing that you don't want to do that. And you would, in fact, drive yourselves and your young people crazy, or at least you'd diminish the quality of your relationship if you tried to take on that role. But what they're also saying is, I can't picture what the alternative is, and that's totally understandable. I've never been on a cruise ship, so I don't really know what it was like. I can imagine, or I've never been to outer space and been weightless. It's like so much else in life. You have to experience it in order to really understand it. So talk to some people who have experienced it and find out what they did and start experimenting on your own. And one of the things that parents find very quickly is that in many ways they have already been a so-called homeschooling, unschooling parent. For example, when you took that family trip to Gettysburg, there was no quiz or test afterwards, you just wanted to expose your young people to something that you thought was interesting, or when you went to the train displays, or when you went to the Franklin Institute and let them explore, et cetera, et cetera. Those are homeschooling, unschooling, parental activities. When you help them develop bicycle riding and shoelace tying and dishwashing and menu preparation and table setting, if you just substitute exploring the woods and understanding ecology or solving the problem of the creek in your backyard that floods, and trying to figure out what to do about that, if you engage them in that process, if you let them help you with the family business, if you, at whatever, you know, is appropriate at their developmental level, those are all under the umbrella of quote-unquote educational opportunities for your young people.
That's great. And one of my biggest problems with school is that you work so hard and yet you're not contributing anything. You know, if I got an A in a paper, then it would get stuck in a file somewhere. It didn't teach anybody anything. And here I thought my ideas were cool. And I just get a letter on it and then it goes in the trash as far as I know. So it's so great to have children actually helping you and they feel more valuable. And I think, you know, self-worth is incredibly important today. We only have a few more minutes left, so I'd like to ask you to identify any trends you're seeing in homeschooling now. I know people have as many reasons as there are parents, but what trends are you noticing now, Peter?
Well, I'd say the biggest, and actually it's been trending for quite some time, is initially, when we first started out in the early 80s, the overwhelming majority of homeschoolers were doing so for one of two purposes, either due to religious conviction, and they were concerned about the social and secular nature of particularly public schooling, and they in fact largely practiced school at home. Sometimes their home schools were more traditional schooling than even the schools were, and that was the largest segment of the homeschooling population. And the second reason for homeschooling were families who would travel a lot, and particularly military families. And so rather than keep enrolling and unenrolling their young people, they would use correspondence courses like Calvert and such. But once John Holt got into the mix with the notion of unschooling based on natural learning, then the people who were interested in a different way of young people's learning got into the mix. And I think the percentage, I know that the percentage of families who have followed that paradigm has been continuously increasing to the point where I don't think anybody knows for sure, but I would say they may even be half of the population now, whereas initially they might have been 2% of the homeschooling population. And so,
wow, you know, we're up on the end of the show already, yeah. Peter, and I know we could talk for a whole lot longer about homeschooling, but I really appreciate you being on the show. So when people want to learn more about your philosophy and the Open Connections Institution, they go to openconnections.org. And is there any other resources? Certainly they should get a hold of your book, Open Connections, The Other Basics and Spaces for Children, and your new book coming up, Parenting for Pleasure. I love that. Any last comments, just quickly?
And people who want to just find out what's going on in their area, you know, there's this really brilliant guy out there named Google. And if you just type in homeschooling or unschooling and then the name of your state or your area, your township or whatever, you'll find support groups and resources in your area. And they're all linked to others. So even if the first ones you hit aren't your cup of tea, invariably it's a very strong chain. And just do your own experimenting and exploring. And you'll be able to create what you want.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Peter. And it's a wonderful alternative for parents who know that their kids can evolve in a more natural way and not go through some of the challenges of school. So thanks again, Peter, and good luck and have fun with those kids and grandkids.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First. We hope you've enjoyed Family First. Please tune in to our program every Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, to join your host, Randy Rolfe, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. The weekend is here. Enjoy it with your family. And we hope to see you here next week.